Well, there were no birds to sacrifice on Tuesday. Maybe you have to move on to an actual chicken this time. Not enough poultry in the world for the Guardians to win two in a row. Not enough poultry in the universe for the Guardians to even sweep a series at this point. Instead, all you hear is the sound of a car backfiring as the Guardians continue to misfire on different cylinders every given night. This is Locked On Guardians.
You are Locked On Guardians. Daily podcast on the Cleveland Guardians, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hey everyone, I'm Jeff. Over there is Justin. My low energy is matched by the low energy we consistently see with this baseball team. I think part of the reason that everything is so contentious and terrible right now is because, as Justin said, like yesterday after the show, it's like, yeah, it was a great win. So many good pieces. Justin's like, they're going to sweep.
I fell for the sacrifice. I thought the sacrifice was going to be enough.
They haven't put anything together. And I think to me, the most disappointing thing amongst many disappointing things, I don't think anyone's been this disappointed since I was in high school. With when
prom night,
no, definitely not prom night. I barely knew my prom date, so no.
That's disappointing enough.
Yeah, it's more. I was that person who's the parents are always like, he's got a lot of potential, he just doesn't apply himself. That feels like the Guardians right now. That came up this at every parent teacher conference night. And that is the Guardians. And this team a year ago was so well coached. And like always seem to take the, like, what do we say? They took the extra base. They're not taking the extra base. And they're just running like they don't know what's going on. They look, frankly, like a mess right now. Is the whole team pressing? Hey, great. Andrés Jiménez had two hits tonight. That's nice to see. But like everyone's making dumb mistakes all the time. And that's part of the reason they can't put anything together. I mean, we can sit here and just make major league references. I still feel bad. We forgot to mention that, like, talked about Serrano and the chicken, that he hits a bird that survives in the second movie. So,
because he goes out and he tries to rescue the bird.
Yes.
Instead of rounding the bases. And that's something the Guardians would do.
They
would
that's what the Guardians, that's what they look like.
Josh Bell would hit the bird. He would run up. He would run to center field and pick up the bird.
Only redeeming value. Out. Right now in Josh Bell is that it means we didn't sign Jose Abreu.
If you haven't seen Jose Abreu's stats, he has no home runs, still zero, big goose egg. Could have been worse.
A 52 OPS. You know what? A negative 1.1 WAR. Hey, at least there's things that need to be fixed about Bell, and unfortunately, this may not be the right organization to do it because they have no idea how to fix launch angles. I mean, Yandy Diaz is going to be an MVP candidate after leaving. Because the guy has biceps bigger than my head or yours.
We just talked about how the biceps don't matter, though.
But they couldn't fix his angle, like in Cleveland. And then he goes to Tampa, they fix his launch angle, and hey, look. But at least he's at least league average. Abreu is terrible. But that's the problem, right? This is our redeeming value right now. It's like, hey, at least they didn't stink as badly as they could have. At least they didn't swing there. It's just frustrating. How dumb they're playing for a team that seemed to make all the right calls, all the right moves, take the extra base, play smart, play smarter than your opponent. They're playing dumber than their opponent in most games right now. The simple mental errors are killing me.
Yeah, I'm gonna save my Josh Bell take for later in the show. So stick around for that because I'm hoping it's a promising comparison. They had that's the frustrating thing. They had chances. Before we get to the offense and the mistakes, let's talk about Logan Allen because that was kind of the big story. Yeah, Logan Allen was good through six innings. And why don't you go? I think we're actually gonna differ on opinion on this a little bit. So go ahead and give you.
I know he was at a very low pitch count, but when you get into the seventh inning, I have someone up. That is just my rule. Someone is up and ready to go. I even understand leaving him in there to face Benintendi. Because he's the only lefty in that lineup. Mm-hmm. But there is no way.
Well, they were going to pinch hit Gavin Sheets at some point.
Yeah.
You knew that was going to happen, but yeah.
Yeah, but there's no way in heck I'm leaving him out there. But Gavin Sheets is a righty, isn't he?
No, Gavin Sheets is a lefty.
He's a lefty. But it doesn't matter. Like, I'm lifting him after Benintendi. Two batters is unless it goes better. Now, hey, there's another world where you have Andrés Giménez or Gabby Arias playing shortstop, and they make that diving catch and make that throw on their knees and get the out because they have the arm and range. Mm-hmm. Ahmed has neither arm nor range. And we, you know, again, defensive failures, Jose dropping the ball, the Tito and Carl Willis figuratively dropping the ball by not going to the bullpen. You know, there was just a lot of ball drops in that inning, none in a good way.
Yeah, the only good way is what happens in sixth grade.
New Year's. Come on.
Oh. I was going to the wrong. That's not always a good thing.
I'm trying to keep it clean.
That's not always a good thing. It's a Monday morning quarterback decision, and I'm going to say this.
After three hits, you're going to leave him, or two hits and a walk?
No. I think the right time to go, he had a low pitch count, and it was – there are certain situations because, look, Tito has said this before. Tito has said, you know, when he's pulled a guy and someone maybe asked him, hey, did you pull him too early? And he'll say, you know, I won. I thought he pitched well. I thought he deserved a chance to win. Let's and have someone pick him up. He said that before about pulling guys, and he's questioned if they pulled him too early. And here it was probably too late. Like, okay, right. No problem starting the seventh, obviously, right? Like Vaughn, you know, like you said, that a good shortstop makes a terrific play there, maybe. Benintendi the double. Yeah, I think at that point I'm probably pulling him. And even if you don't pull after Benintendi, here's the problem. He faces Yasmani Grandal. Jose makes the error. There's your mistake. Big problem. You can't have that. 2-2.
And Grandal just took him deep the last inning as well. So, like, that's extra reason to not, like, to have someone up and ready.
And by that point, you know, he walks Clint Frazier. And then he stays in for Romy Gonzalez. And Tito said, well, we wanted to get him to the bottom of the order because Romy Gonzalez has, like, a 4 or 5 something OPS. After either the Grandal or the Frazier walk, that should have been it. You shouldn't have let him face. I know Romy Gonzalez is a bottom of the order hitter, but I'm sorry. At that point, the bases are loaded and you got, you know, he just had bad things pile up on him in that inning. It should have been there. I realize this is a Monday morning quarterback decision.
No, he came undone. It's not Monday morning quarterback. He came undone. It's baseball. Sometimes pitchers don't have it. And we see this happen where it disappears in an inning. You have to be proactive.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the reasoning about wanting to get to the bottom of the order.
To me, that's a dumb comment. Like, he has given up two hits, a walk. Sure, you don't put the error on him.
There's only one hit that was hit hard. It was Benintendi's ball was the only well-struck ball.
Yeah, but I mean, still, he hasn't recorded now. Benintendi's was, you know, guys are getting to him with two strikes. It was bad.
After the walk, he should have been out. After the walk to Frazier, that should have been the end of the line.
There's no logic for letting him pitch. That deep into it. None at all. I don't care what they say. That was, to me, that's a silly move.
Well, okay. Maybe someone should have been stirring in the seventh inning, but also the pitch count was super low.
No, it was. It was incredible. So, I mean, he left at 85 in spite of that terrible
inning. Yeah. I get maybe nobody being up in the seventh inning to start the inning, but as soon as Benintendi reached, that's when you probably, well, I guess it wouldn't have mattered because by the time he faced Grandal and Frazier, he wouldn't have had enough time to get him ready.
He's a rookie who faced this team last week, so they're familiar with him.
And it's the third time through the order.
And it is a team that hits lefties much better than righties. You start the seventh with a guy up. When you have all of that data there, there's no reason you don't have a guy up. And Yale should have been up to start. And after the first two batters, Allen should have been out. Because the other problem is now it's a bad start. And when you have a young player, you just want to build that confidence. Like we're seeing it, like I said, with Andrés Giménez, we're seeing what looks like a guy pressing. We're seeing lots of guys press, right? We're talking about like maybe they're not running. You want to help build up confidence instead of this being maybe his best outing where I was going to sit there and play the true false game and be like the most impressive rookie this year is Logan Allen. He leaves and it's not what it could have been. And instead of stacking his confidence, he leaves on a massively negative note.
The play at shortstop I'm not saying that should have been made. It was a single. It wasn't like it was an error.
It was a tough play.
So, and then Jose Mares makes the error. So let's say someone better is at shortstop, makes that play. So Vaughn doesn't get on. And let's say that Jose makes that play. Doesn't look as bad. I know that changes the scope of things.
We're doing two big changes. I think unless you have a great player there, that's likely a single. I just think Giménez and Gabby do have that potential.
So what do you
arm strength?
Let's say Jose makes that play. If Jose makes the play,
no, I'm still out. I'm not leaving him in there.
You're still taking him out after the Grandal at bat.
yeah, you've got the bullpen, you know, in a good situation with Enyo, who's pitched well this year. Or you can go, heck, I mean, Nick Sandlin's pitched a third of an inning in like the last week. You know, yeah. You have some choices. You have some options. He's a young kid. And again, this team hits lefties very well. It's a very right-handed heavy lineup. I'm gonna be like, pat him on the back and good job and move on.
I agree, because he has said before that when he takes guys out too early, when some people question, he has said, I thought he pitched well enough, and you know, we wanted to get him.
And he had the win. It's not like
it was 2-1. Yeah. Dude,
yeah.
All right, we'll talk that. It doesn't matter. You know what? It doesn't matter what he did, because the offense scored 2 runs. So we have to talk about the offense a little more. But I don't want to say I'm more optimistic about the offense, because there's still a lot of frustration.
We'll definitely get into that after the break, though.
Yeah. And De Los Santos looked fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Well, I signed up for a TV service last week. And I forgot to cancel it. I was testing out to see if it was a better option than my current TV service. And it was okay for a few days. And I decided it just wasn't worth the cost. But guess what? I forgot to cancel it. You know how I would have made up for it? If I would have had Rocket Money. I used Rocket Money. I don't know why I didn't check it. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spendings, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. So stop throwing your money away. Cancel those unwanted subscriptions. Manage the expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/lockdownMLB. That is rocketmoney.com/lockdownMLB. rocketmoney.com/lockdownMLB. Don't be an idiot like me.
And don't forget to check out tomorrow's action on SiriusXM. Quantrill versus Kopech. You know, you got it is a chance for Cleveland. Quantrill looked great last time before that line drive. Check that out on SiriusXM.
And they haven't seen Kopech yet because he got scratched last time. So.
Yeah.
Or he got pushed back a day. Yeah. I mean, whatever they do with Logan Allen doesn't really matter because they scored 2 runs. That's the frustrating thing. And again, we do our daily base running check-in. They didn't even bother to steal base, Jeff. Okay, look.
Didn't even try.
Ahmed Rosario walked. For the love of all things, Ahmed Rosario walked. Didn't try to steal. Jose Ramirez had the triple late in the game, so whatever. Yeah. Let's see who else. Gabby Arias walked in a hit. I would like to see him steal. We're not gonna rip on Arias, but we'd like to see him running.
No, Andres, I mean, Jimenez runs well
on base twice. No base running. Will Brennan.
Well, one of those was because his single was the double play. It was the Josh Bell running error. The guy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then his other one was right before the final play of the game. So like, at least in those, you can sit there and look at it. But they, I mean, there was chances. There was chances to run. They didn't run.
And yeah, Yasmani Grinnell's not a great defender.
Not anymore. He used to be. Like, yeah, he's definitely now. Age has caught up to him. You look at this, it's like Chicago had one more hit and two more walks, and Cleveland had the error, so they ended up having 4 more base runners. But Cleveland had more extra base hits than Chicago did in this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as much imagine as we say that. The
offense wasn't there, like. Stephen Kwan and Mike Zunino are the only guys who didn't reach base. Like, they actually had a lot of things going well offensively, but as I talked about, you know, they were the base running error when you got after that Jimenez single where Josh Bell gets like, it said the base is loaded with one out. And yes, I know it would have been bases loaded one out with Mike Zunino coming up, which hasn't been as great of late.
It's like a car backfiring because against the Mets, okay, they had good offense. The bullpen blew it. The other night, you know, tonight they didn't score well, and the I don't want to say the bullpen blew it. The defense and the base running cost them, because what if Josh Bell doesn't run them out of the inning? Do they get more runs?
Maybe Zunino gets one.
They might do one or two things, Logan Allen, and starting pitching has been the best part of this team, which, you know, not really a surprise, but. It seems like they do one or two things well every night, and then it's the defense and the bullpen, or it's the offense and the bullpen, or it's the offense and the defense. Like, you know, okay, starting pitching, bullpen, base running, defense, and the offense, 5 facets. They maybe do 2 or 3 of these things good.
They look like a badly coached team right now. They look like a team that's failing at the fundamentals, which is so weird because it's the opposite of everything we've seen. Like, again, that's just what makes me kind of worried. Like, did this team read their own headlines too much? Did they not do as much work in the offseason? Because right now they don't look like a typical Tito team that like even when they were losing a year ago early on, like they were still a fundamentally sound team that always took that extra base. And like, now they're not even trying to take extra bases. Now they're just, this is like the early 2000 Oakland Athletics where the Moneyball rule said that stealing was not worth it. So you didn't steal and you just go base to base. Like that's what they look like.
And what we've talked about, I think our theory was true because I think Tito even echoed this in his comments saying that, you know, he does see guys maybe afraid to run into outs or are not playing with the confidence right now because they're not playing well. So that leads to not running. So he did basically, I'm not saying that's exactly what he said, but that does kind of make it seem like they are a little bit gun shy to run more and do these things. That's kind of what that's kind of what it feels like he's saying. So yeah, it's just they're, and he said too, that they're having some growing pains this year. They thought they would have gotten last year. So it's like the reverse where a lot of these guys are kind of hitting their slump, I guess, you know, sophomore slump, I guess.
Estuary Ruiz has nearly half the total stolen bases of this team. He leads the American League with 24.
Braves enjoy Sean Murphy.
I mean, it's like, hey, I mean, it's hard to fault Oakland. It's like, hey, do you want George Valera who can't stay healthy? Or do you want Daniel Espino who can't be healthy? You know,
we're not giving him Bybee or Williams, that's for sure.
Well, it's like, yeah, I mean, it's just, it is, it's again, and I brought it up at the beginning. I think the biggest frustration is they need to get a good run. Every time we get excited, we get kicked in the nards. Every time we think, oh, this punch to the stomach. And it just, it's going to make this fan base get angry and angrier because we're so desperate for something to cling to. And it'd be one thing if like they weren't supposed to be good or, you know, if these were tight contests, but instead it's like the bullpen imploding, the being mistake prone and fundamentally unsound. It's all of these things that this team isn't supposed, they are giving away games that they can't afford to give away.
And that's why I was going to say too, going back to the Allen thing, I think in a certain situation, I would have been okay with him leaving him in and trying to get him deeper to the game, you know, just because at some point he's going to need to do that. But a third time through the order thing, for a guy like him, for it being a week ago with the White Sox, for the situation they were in needing to win, it was the wrong time. It
didn't make sense tonight.
Yeah, right. If they were, you know, if it was like a 4-1 lead, I would have said, that's fine. Like, yeah, it would have stung if it was 4-4, 5-4, it would have come back to, you know, bite him in the rear end. But there are certain situations I think it would have been okay to test him there and try to, you know, develop him that way. Because again, that is a developmental piece right there. You're not going to, I mean, come playoff time, if they make the playoffs, I don't want to say the word, the P word, but you're not going to go three times through the order with Logan Allen. He's not that kind of pitcher.
But you don't with most teams. You don't with most starters anymore anyways.
Like you don't,
starters,
especially not with Logan
in the
Allen.
Playoffs. Yeah. But it's like
a Garrett Cole, yes. Like there are certain guys you'll do that with, but
not many.
Not many, no. And Logan Allen's not one of them. So like there are just very small little opportunities where that might have been okay. Tonight was not one of them because you needed to win the game in front of you, and that just was not the right one. The guy though that he brought in was the right call finally. Yeah. Like let's at least say this. I was really, when I texted you, I said they got to get Allen out here before this gets bad, and they didn't. I said they have to go to anybody but Karinchak. They didn't. They went to Eniel De Los Santos, and my God, that guy went out there and pitched his tail off. Like, that was the best bullpen performance of the season.
Mr. Immaculate Inning.
Yeah, wow.
You know, that's 90. He didn't have one tonight, but in the past.
No, but that was better than an immaculate inning, if you ask me. I mean, I know 9 pitches and 9 strikes and 3 strikeouts is great, but Jesus, he averaged 97 with his fastball tonight, which is up 2.5 miles, almost 2.5 miles an hour.
Yeah, with everyone else being down.
Yeah. And then he threw the slider 9 times. Clearly, the White Sox can't hit the slider because it worked really well for Stefan and Class A the other night and Hunter Gaddis, and it worked well for De Los Santos. But he threw 14 pitches. The White Sox took 8 swings at them. They missed 7 times. The only time they didn't miss was they fouled a slider off. My God, he was out there, and he just absolutely sent them packing back to the dugout, just handed them their lunch. So right call to bring in De Los Santos, who's now got a 2.08 ERA on the year. Mm-hmm. So thank God he relegated Karinchak to the next inning after the leak had already sprung, obviously, bringing, you know, should have brought De Los Santos in earlier. But now,
and the nice thing was no walks, because that's been his bugaboo this year, is he's been walk prone.
I know. I had someone text me and said, oh, no, Karen checks it. I said, well, it doesn't matter now. They're losing. He can't really blow it anymore.
Well, I mean, with Eniel. Eniel's bugaboo as well this year. His walk rate has been high. So it was nice to see no walks for him and then Karen check to have the clean inning. I mean, hey, you know, it helps.
So do you think that we can see, like, I don't want to say this is, I don't want to take anything definitive away from one outing, but do we think that maybe there could be a flip here where De Los Santos is pitching behind? So you have obviously Class A and Stephen were out.
Yeah.
And Henches was out. I would like to see, because normally their order of is the order is something like Hench. It was last year. It was like Henches, Karinchak, Stephen, Class A. I would really love to replace Karinchak with De Los Santos for the time being. I know it's just one outing, but I mean, the guy's been good. Like you said, 8 walks and 17 1/3 is kind of iffy, but you know, everything else has been fantastic. And after
he wasn't that tonight, missing a ton of bats, but you know, as you said, the velocity jumped. I think, you know, he was, you know, what a great, he was the last move, you know, the last move this organization made before the lockout. And I didn't even cover it on the show. Cause I was like, I looked at the numbers. I'm like, he's going to be inconsequential. Again, if I'm going to take my victory laps, I'll take this one on the chin. I think he should be. I think right now, if you're going to do the, you know, Tito last year, it was like the seventh was Stefan, eighth was 99, and the ninth was Class A. I think Stefan should be 8, you know, Class A 9. I think the seventh should be Eniel until we figure out Henches, what's going on. Some Henches, you know, he's still working his way back. Like until Henches is Henches, which he has not been in his first few outings, he's a guy you kind of have in that mix.
Just simply flip those two.
And
flip
it's going to be, it's going to be interesting when let's say even Cody Morris comes back for part three of the show, we should take our break here, and we'll talk about where he could end up. Cause I don't think he's going in the rotation just because of we'll save it. Bird Dogs, these are shorts we both love. They sent us, here's the thing, it's not cheap to send an entire network 2 pairs of shorts and a thermos that I use around school. It's a solid thermos. It's a Yeti-like thermos, Yeti-style tumbler. But they sent it to everyone because that was the best way to really get across. These shorts are fantastic. They're comfortable. They look good. They feel good. I'm wearing them to school tomorrow and Thursday. You can bet your bottom dollar when it is a field day, I'll be wearing those shorts. They're comfortable. They feel good. They look good. Silly names. Fantastic product. Go over to birddogs.com/lockedonMLB. And when you enter the promo code LockedOnMLB, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. I use my tumbler daily. That is birddogs.com. We love these shorts.
I wore them to bowling the other day, and I'm going to pack them for my honeymoon. So very versatile. They do both. And then don't forget on Thursday afternoon after you're done listening to this and you listen to, you know, Locked On Prospects or Locked On MLB, make sure you're tuning in on SiriusXM app to catch the action at 1:10 between the Guardians and the White Sox, Cal Quantrill, Michael Kopech with Tom Hamilton and Jim Rosenhaus on the call. Okay. I want to do a real quick thing. I don't want to be so negative. The offense tonight was not – obviously, they scored 2 runs. That stinks.
But they had a lot of base runners. They just didn't execute. Again,
yeah, and I think you got hits from like certain guys, like okay, Gabriel Arias. I don't know how many games thrown it is now,
every day,
yeah. And that last at bat he had, it was against Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly is a tough pitcher. His stuff
he's been good this year, too.
His stuff is really nasty.
Good this year,
and he got kind of jobbed a little bit because the strike 2 call in the outside corner was not a strike, it was a ball. He should have been ahead in that count 2-1 instead of being down 1-2. And he fought, and he grounded that double play, which someone texted me and said, oh, he pulled his Amed Rosario. I said, well, the only difference between that is Amed Rosario would have done it in the first pitch. Gabby Arias made him throw 5 pitches, and he really should have had a 2-1 count instead of a 1-2 count. But he reached base twice again with a double and a walk.
He had another hit that was like 109 miles an hour plus. Like, I mean,
his at-bats just look good. Like, it's the at-bats consistently. He is not chasing as much. He's getting pitches to hit. Yeah, it was a 109 double. Everything he's doing looks good. And let's see, Jimenez had 2 hits. That's encouraging. Like, you need that. Brennan hit a home run. God, that he need that. And I know Zunino went 0-4, 2 strikeouts. He did hit a ball just short of the wall. I'm not going to say like that's unfortunately that kind of is a positive for him, right? Because that is not a home run in 30 ballparks, it says, but it was 100 miles an hour off the bat, and it had a 570 expected batting average. So,
and 29 launch angle, which is good. That's the thing. Like, you go through, like, Rami Gonzalez's double was the hardest hit thing of the game.
If then he hits that to right field or left field, it's a home run. He hit it to dead center. So,
and then Naylor and Arias had the next two, and again, 12 and 13. If they were like a 20 degree launch angle, both of those might have gone out.
Maybe, yeah, that makes a difference. So, like, there are. We're trying to like put a silver lining on this, obviously. So the offense was like, it's still not good. They're not coming through, but there were a few positives here. So I don't know. I guess
that Joe Kelly was over 100 in that inning, by the way. 100.5, 100.3, 100.2.
Joe Kelly is insane. He's an interesting dude. I don't know.
He had the 5 hardest thrown pitches in the game.
I was telling somebody else today too. I said, what are your positives right now for this team? I said, well, they beat the White Sox last Wednesday, right? They could have won, or last Thursday, I should say. They could have won all three of those Mets games. They had chances to win all three of those Mets games. They won Monday. They had a chance to win tonight. So this is the situation. I said this on my Lockdown Now. This is a team that's finding ways to lose. Bad teams find ways to lose. Good teams find ways to win. If they were playing good, solid, fundamental baseball right now and the bullpen wasn't leaking, we could be talking about a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 game winning streak going back to last Thursday. If a few bounces of the ball, a few good fundamental plays, the bullpen not crap in the bed, like 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, we talk about a 6 game winning streak. Like, I'm not saying I'm not trying to, you know, put lipstick on a pig here. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you are. There's, this is a lipstick on a pig day.
It, well, okay, I am, but I'm also saying like, there were a few bounces of the ball,
no,
a few I mean, good, but that's why I'm saying they're a bad team, because they found ways to lose these games instead of winning them.
Yes.
But they, a good, like, if this is last year, they win those games because they do, like you said, they do the little things to win, and they just aren't right now. So, I don't know. There it was. I offered you some positives offensively, and then I just completely put them down the garbage.
I mean, the thing, though, I think we can agree, like, Gabby is one of the few people that consistently you're excited to see play. Like, we need to.
Well, you're talking about development and not winning. You're talking about because he's developing at the major league level. So, but you're getting excited about a guy who's starting to show signs of life developmentally at the major league level. You're not talking about winning. Like, we should be focused on this team trying to find ways to win. Instead, we're getting excited about Gabriel Arias showing signs of development at the major league level in a loss. That's the problem.
I'm excited because it's been a week of good play for him. And let's see if we can continue to build on that. And,
But it's a developmental win. It's not a win on the field, and that's the problem. No. This is not supposed to be a developmental year, even though they are still the youngest team in baseball. I don't know. It's tricky. Okay. Let's get out of here on the last few notes we have. Cody Morris is going to rehab Wednesday at Akron. I think it's probably just going to be an inning because he hasn't pitched yet. So they still have not really said like what role he's going to be in. I think it's going to be a relief role.
They don't have rotate. You know, the rotation is already crunched. So I think, only makes sense in the pen. And then, I mean, he could be. Listen, he hasn't pitched recently, but his strikeout stuff is as good as anyone's not named Class A on this roster. Like, he could be, it could be a stabilizing force. He could be a weapon. Maybe you could stretch him out, and then you never know what's going to happen in terms of health, but. He's an exciting addition.
Yeah.
People don't mention him when they talk about like, oh, Savale's hurt and McKenzie's hurt. Like, people are sleeping on him. I think there's a small degree of sleeping on Cody Morris because of the health.
Yeah, I agree. He is, again, we said it yesterday. If you're never there, you heard us say how excited we were to see him pitch because he shouldn't even be a prospect anymore. He's 26 and he's always hurt. He should have been in the majors with a regular role by now if he had stayed healthy. So yeah, I think bullpen makes the most sense. And if you're trying to rehab him as a starter, then you've got, a while to go to stretch him out. So I don't think it makes any sense. Aaron Civale threw on Tuesday night in Triple A Columbus, 3 1/3, 5 hits, 2 runs, a walk, 5 strikeouts, gave up a home run, and then a little bloop job for another run. He was, fine. He looked good. But he only threw 70 pitches. So who knows if his next start's going to be in Cleveland or not. I think the next time out he threw 70 pitches. I would think the next time out he could probably throw 80. So there's a chance he probably could be ready to make the next start. And he last started a game in April, so he's close enough to being ready. Tristan McKenzie will rehab Thursday with Columbus as well. So we'll see what his pitch count gets to. And then Thursday on SiriusXM at 1 o'clock, or I should say 1:10, Jim Rosenhaus, Tom Hamilton, Michael Kopech, Cal Quantrill in the rubber match. Let's hope to God they find a way to win the game. Do the little things right.
Kopech has struggled this year, too. Like, this is a matchup they should be favored in.
Yeah, they should be. Hope, but you know, they don't win the games they should. They don't win the games they should. They keep winning the games they shouldn't.
Well, today was one they today is one they should have.
Right, and they shouldn't have won the Hunter Gaddis like you would think they would.
They should. Yeah, today was a game they should have lost when you look in the
map. They did. Yeah, later this week, we have to talk about the rotation. Who's going to go off the 40-man roster when Savali and McKenzie come back? Well, I should say 40. I should say Morris, not Savali. Savali's on the 15-day IL, so yes. He doesn't need to be re-added to the 40. But McKenzie and Morris do. Let's talk about the 6-man rotation again because somebody asked Tito about that. I know we've already kind of hashed that, but somebody did ask him about it, so it's worth revisiting. Friday, because the Guardians are off on Thursday, we'll get back to Around the Farm Friday, the MLB draft segment of the week, and we will do mailbag questions. So start submitting your questions for Friday's episode. YouTube, Twitter, whatever.
Thank you all for listening. Remember to rate and review, download daily. It helps. Tell a friend, get those listens up. On the positive days, we seem to do not as well as on the negative days. So let's help reinforce the positive and share with a friend. Thank you for all you do, and go, go, Guardians, go.